Hey, this is Leo Cologne.
And this is Rebecca Cologne.
This is a Parents Initiative podcast, and we want to thank you for joining us.
We hope that this could be used as a tool that will create an awareness in you as parents to take the initiative in becoming and being the parents that God has called you to be.
For us, it's not about being the perfect parent, but it's about each day making progress, each day moving forward and becoming a better version of yourself.
So you can give others the best version of you as a spouse, parent, family member, and friend.
All right. Welcome to the 32nd episode of the Parents Initiative podcast. If this is your first time joining us, we want to congratulate you for taking the time. I am your host, Leo Cologne, and I have my co-host, Rebecca.
What's up, everybody? Woo woo.
All right. So like I said a few moments ago, we want to congratulate you for taking the time to listen to it. You could be listening to something else, but you chose to listen to this.
Yeah.
So go ahead and pat yourself on the back. Because you're saying that you're taking your role as a parent seriously and matters to you, and you want to grow and become better. And as we grow and become better and we learn, we become better version of ourselves, and then we're better for everybody else around us. So for this episode, we are going to hit on dating, to date or not to date. So let me first start off by saying that we are hitting on this topic from our standpoint. Okay, and how we are going to approach it. So if anything, obviously you know that our goal is to bring awareness that maybe there are some things that you've been contemplating, some things that you've been thinking about, and maybe we could give you some insight on how to approach it. So this is what, you know, so we're coming from the standpoint of what we're going to implement in our home.
You know, we have been around this topic a long time.
Yep.
Not only as teenagers and as young adults, but as student pastors. And so we have seen all the pros and all the cons. And so that's, we walk into parenting ourselves with that wisdom and insight. So
yeah. So why don't you start off like reading that scripture?
Song of Solomon 8:4 says, "Promise me, O woman of Jerusalem, not to wake love until the time is right."
Read it again.
"Promise me, O woman of Jerusalem, O women of Jerusalem, not to waken love until the time is right."
So, you know, in reading that, and I kind of did a little in-depth study on this, there's this plea, like, you know, obviously we can't scream into this mic because we'll probably mess the mic up. But he's like, "Promise me." He's like, "Promise me that you will not awaken love before the time is right."
Right.
And I think he's stressing the fact. I mean, Solomon was how do I say that word? Promiscuous.
Promiscuous. Yeah.
Very promiscuous person, and he spoke from experience.
Yeah.
You know, and he's stressing the fact that, hey, you know, if you don't handle this correctly, it's going to bring a lot of drama and a lot of heartache.
And I feel like we know that in a real way, because I feel that's the way we personally approach this topic, with a plea.
Yeah.
And this is because of our past experiences.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like we kind of know what Solomon's talking about here.
Yeah, and I mean... And I didn't know this as I was studying about it the other day. I didn't know this, but actually this is referenced in three different occasions in the book from the Bible.
Yeah.
I mean, in the Song of Solomon. I can't remember exactly the references, but it's not just said in this one, but in two different chapters of the Bible. In this book in particular, you know, he's stressing this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about keeping love away, but it's saying saving it for the one that you're going to spend the rest of your life with.
Right.
Saving the purity of love.
Not even awakening it in your life. And because he knows it's like opening Pandora's box.
Yep.
It's hard to shut.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about how kind of we've approached this?
You know, at a very young age, in our children's life, we haven't really used the word date a lot.
Yeah.
But when it's come up, no, you're not going to date, you know, And I preface that, you know, I feel like date is a term that the world uses a lot of, and, you know, there's more of courtship, friendship, you know, things like that, that I would preference. There's nothing wrong with liking somebody, you know, that's a natural thing. And I love that you like people. We want you to like people. And we want, I mean, because it's natural in our body. There's a lot of things that's natural in our body that we have to learn to walk in self-control with. And so actually with Marcela and I, we have been walking through the third book in the series, God's Design for Sex.
But for you guys that don't know, maybe you're just joining our podcast for the first time. It talks about sex and is a thing that we sit down with our kids and do. So
right, it's one of our tools that we use, and you can look at our resources and find out more about that later. But we've been walking through this book, and she asked me the other day, she asked me the question, is it okay to kiss a boy? And I said, if you're not married, no. And I said, I'm going to explain to you why I say that, not just because I'm trying to be ugly and mean. I said, but I don't think you understand the power of a kiss. And I said, actually, Marcela, it actually starts before, it starts with just holding hands. Holding hands, it makes you all feel butterflies inside and tingles and you get excited. But what does that do? It opens you up to wanting more and to go further. And then it's a little kissing. And what do you do? I feel, and I have shared with young girls all across the U.S., that a kiss is a soul tie. You are tying yourself to that person. And I said, that means that you're giving a little bit of you away. Mm-hmm. And you're grabbing a little bit of him. And I said, if you're not going to be spending the rest of your life with that person, I said, how much left are you going to have for the one that you really want to spend the rest of your life with? I said, so I encourage you to look at every boy and every girl as your sister and your brother. I said, because one day, and think about it this way, I said, what you're doing with that person, somebody else is probably doing with your spouse. Is that something that you would want them to be doing with your husband?
And let me remind you, she's having this conversation with an 8-year-old.
Yeah. Well, I feel like Marcela is mature enough.
Yep.
And we broke that down, and I asked questions after I would say something. And there was a give and take. And she began to understand that and value. I wanted her to see the value in a kiss. You know, a lot of cultures, we kiss on the cheek, you know, and that's not, seen as a big deal. It's a greeting. But when you really kiss somebody, you know, learning the value of what that is, because I feel like the world has devalued all of these amazing things that God has given us to be able to show affection to our spouses, that it's kind of watered down and not important. Hmm. So I want her to see the value in physical touch and the value of showing your love to someone, and also what it can do in a negative way if it's done out of the wrong context. So, you know, we want to teach our kids the value of relationships, not the way dating is seen in the world.
Yeah, and I think it's important that we stress the fact that, you know, she is 8, just like I said a few moments mm-hmm. ago, but you took the time to answer her question. And I think, you know, our kids are, as the world continues to move forward
quickly,
we're going to be asked these questions by our kids at a younger and younger age.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I think, you know, I'm guilty of this at times. Just be straight up with you. You know, we get asked questions at times that are not really a good time, and we need to stop and answer the question.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, you never know what's been going on, why she asked that question, those kinds of things.
Yep.
What she's contemplating or what someone's trying to do to her, yep. You know, want to prepare her.
Yeah. So when your kids start asking these questions, you need to take the time to answer these questions and not just say, because Rebecca could have easily said, because I said so. You know, and that's like the, one of the worst things we can do. You know, and if not, just take make a mental note or put a note on your phone and say, hey, I need to address this question later on. You know, when it comes to our son, we know that he likes a particular girl. And it's okay.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal.
I'd rather him in open communication with one another.
Yeah.
And seeing the value.
Yeah. And, you know, he asked just recently to go do something with this certain girl. And we said, no, it's just not going to happen, you know, because we don't know this individual's parents. We don't know anything about this particular person, and he's a little too young to be doing that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so we just, it's just the way that you approach it, and you take the time to explain it. So, you know, you have the modern dating system that, you know, most people know. It doesn't prepare us how to effectively go about relationships. So if anything, what this, I guess you could say, quote-unquote world is teaching our kids is to date multiple people. Okay, to continually give their hearts away and to give them away themselves away physically. So, you know, there's no need for us to really break down what dating looks like, because majority of you have dated at a younger age, and I hate to say it, but probably multiple people. There's some of you listening right now that you've given your heart away multiple times. You even became sexually active, and you may have some regret.
Yeah,
but to it's important that we prepare our kids to not find themselves at a place that they don't want to carry their past into their marriage or even a relationship that they may find themselves in the future.
Right, because, you know, truthfully, the modern dating system teaches our kids how to get divorced.
Yep, and that's something, I mean, that I'm guilty of. I carried a lot of things into our marriage, with my marriage with Rebecca. And there are some things, you know, that I wish I would have obviously done differently, that, you know, on our wedding day, I couldn't give her every part of me first, if that makes sense. I think you understand what I'm saying. It's, I couldn't give her that because I already gave it away before. And obviously, listen, we're people of faith and we believe in God restoring things. And, you know, I've moved on from that. But that still hurt my heart.
Right. And on the receiving end over here, you know, there's the mental possibilities of comparing yourself and feeling not good enough or all these different things that you have to eventually address. Maybe not even with one another, but within yourself, you know. So there comes a lot of things that you can't avoid having to work through.
Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to just list off some things, and we're just going to slowly go through this list and just kind of break down what dating does.
Yeah.
And because we really want you to think about how you're approaching this when it comes to your role as a parent and how you allow your children to be involved in other relationships.
Yeah.
So,
because we want them to learn how to have healthy relationships with, yep, the opposite sex.
Yeah, they need to learn that. Yeah. And there's good ways to do that. We'll talk about that here in a few moments.
Yeah.
All right. So these are things that quote unquote dating does. Dating develops a self-centered, feeling-oriented concept of love.
Mm-hmm. Dating creates a permanent bond between two people who will possibly not spend their lives together.
And you mentioned that a few moments ago.
Yeah.
You know, when you exchange a kiss with someone else, there's a soul tie that takes place, and there's that bond that takes place. And, you know,
yeah,
if you do that over and over again, that has its consequences.
Yeah.
Dating teaches people to break off difficult relationships, conditioning them more for divorce and marriage.
Dating develops an appetite for a variety and change, creating dissatisfaction within a marriage, you know, basically teaching you, oh, if I'm not satisfied, I can just move on to somebody else.
Yep. Dating lacks the protections and guidance afforded by parental involvement of courtship.
Mm-hmm. Dating doesn't prepare children to face life's realities.
Dating devalues sex and marriage.
Dating leads to intimacy, but not necessarily to commitment or covenant.
Dating tends to skip the friendship stage of a relationship.
Dating often mistakes a physical relationship for love.
Dating often isolates a couple from other vital relationships.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Dating, in many cases, distracts young adults from their primary responsibility for preparing for their future. And we have seen this so, so much.
Yeah, let me go back to how dating often isolates a couple from other vital relationships. And I could definitely speak for this because I know that this individual may never listen to this podcast. So I'm not going to say this individual's name. But if this person was to listen to it, they'll know that I'm talking about them. But I dated one girl in high school for 3 years. And we were physically involved, and then we were also, quote unquote, in love. And I hate to say that my world revolved around her.
Yeah.
And I do have some relationships from high school. We went to my high school reunion, and it was pretty cool to connect with other people. But, you know, looking back, I wish that I would have done things differently, and I would have been like, my world revolved around her. And I didn't have the opportunities to build other relationships that I could have had. And that is something that I regret. I wish I could have done that differently.
Yeah.
So anyway, dating can cause discontentment with God's gift of singleness.
Dating creates an artificial environment for evaluating another person's character.
Yeah. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean,
for instance, most of the time when you're dating, what are you going to do? You're going to put on your best. You're going to act your best. You know, guys are going to do all the things because what are they doing? They're working for a goal in mind. And then when people get married, usually they lose that. You know, we have worked really hard to keep that, you know, to keep those kind of moments alive, because to me, that's, you should never stop courting your spouse, you know, and pursuing them and, you know, being your best for them. But a lot of times whenever you are in a dating relationship, you don't get to see that. That's why being around friends and family and other people, and different situations, causing more stress, all those different things, you can learn more about how a person will react in different situations.
Yeah. So, you know, fortunately with me and Rebecca, we were seeing each other, whatever, however you want to call it, in a relationship. It was a long distance relationship.
Yeah, well, and we met. So one day,
I don't want to go too into that.
I won't go too into it, but one day we will share our love story. But literally, we met, and you lived, almost 300 miles away from me. I left that day. We talked on the phone. You asked Dad for permission to start pursuing me. From that day to the day we got married was only 11 months. All of that time, we spent pretty much away from one another.
I would say about 80% of it, we were talking on the phone, writing letters.
Maybe a whole month if you collected all the days we actually saw each other in person before we got married. And everything was phone calls, letters, and emails.
And I think that gave us the opportunity to really know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool.
And to get to know your friends.
Yeah. So, you know, what are we going to do in our home? And this is something we, you know, we're still working through, walking through, but these are some things that we do know we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So just give you some insight on how we're going to approach it. Obviously, you know how we feel about dating. I think we've done a good job of giving you an idea on how we feel about it. So one of the things that we've talked about doing is that they're going to be allowed to go with friends in a group setting when the time is right.
Yeah.
You know, obviously there may be moments that Zane or Marcella may be in a group of people and one of those people they like, and we're okay with that, but it's going to be in a group setting until they graduate high school. Okay. Until they graduate high school, it's always going to be in a group setting.
And I feel like it's important if you're preparing them at home, then they'll be able to face moments when they're in a group setting and that person wants to take them alone. We get it. Yeah. Okay.
We get it. I mean, we're not
stupid.
We're not living in Wonderland over here. So.
Okay.
You know, kids will be kids.
And if you want to do something bad enough, you're going to make a way to do it.
Yeah.
And so we want to give them the tools necessary to prepare them and then try to create the best environment we can to create accountability and leave them up to their own choices.
Well, let me make this point, and we've talked about this before in the podcast, okay? And I've made this comment before it's our responsibility to do everything we can.
Yep.
We can. Mm-hmm. Okay. We can't control what they decide to do.
Right.
Perfect example is Adam and Eve.
Yep.
You know, God did everything he could.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, after even being specific and telling them what not to do and what to do.
And why not to do it.
And why not to do it. They still chose to do it.
Right.
So always keep that in mind when you hear this podcast, that we're doing everything on our end. It's not to say that our kids are always going to be perfect. It's not to say that we're always perfect. Okay. Right.
And so that, just take that in consideration. Yeah. You know?
And always keep that in mind. Because, I mean, some of you are actually, you're doing what you can. Mm-hmm. You know, you're doing your best. And that's awesome. So obviously we have yet to allow our son to go out to dance or a formal. You know, as a teenager, I had the freedom to do those things. And I know what happened. And I know that it's only gotten worse over time.
And I was on the other end.
She was on the other end. And she was not allowed to.
I went to zero. We had one formal. My dad was my date. It was at a Christian school. And it was a dinner. It was nothing like.
Yeah.
It was no dancing involved.
So Zane actually has an event for his 8th grade graduation.
Yeah, we haven't even discussed it yet. But
it hasn't come up. But, you know, we have a couple people that actually volunteer at the school that we are going to touch base with. And we're going to say, hey, we're thinking about letting Zane go to this event. Will you keep an eye on him?
I haven't filled you in, but I think I'm going to dress up and I'm going to be a chaperone.
Well, she's probably going to be a chaperone. And
because I might dress up and being fabulous.
I might go myself too.
We'll just go on a date and we'll just go dance. It'll be like our prom date. Yes, because I never had a prom.
Well, there you go. We're going to go to Zane's. We're going to go to Zane's recital and it's going to be our prom date. Zane's recital. Zane's formal. So. Whatever it's called.
We're going to live vicariously through Zane. Yeah.
So, hey, he gets to go, so we're going to be there. So listen, you know, we're all having fun right now. But listen, I think the big thing is that you're not pushing this.
Yeah.
You know, and man, I can't tell you how many times as a student pastor that I remember parents pushing their kids to date. And the ones that were being pushed to date were the ones that they had the most problems with.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that I ended up praying for at the altar a lot. Because they regretted some of the things that they did, they've done.
Or helping make a decision whether to keep a child or not keep a child.
Yeah.
You know, it changes their entire life.
Yeah.
You know, just one moment can alter the trajectory of their life.
You know, Zane, for those of you that know Zane, he's a nice-looking young man. And, you know, we've had people around us that are trying to push their kids on him, and I'm like,
or grandkids.
Grandkids are like, it's not going to happen. You know, we don't play around like that.
But we do pray for them. And
yes, we do pray for them, but that's part of the awakening.
Yeah.
That is a part, one of the very thing that Solomon is warning us is that when we're pushing them in that way, you're awakening something that they're not mature enough to handle.
You were feeding into it. Yep. And whatever you feed grows, whatever you starve dies. So I don't mention names. I don't have discussions. I don't bring it up unless it's something we need to address. Even if I know that he might like someone,
yeah.
I don't talk about that person. We don't, you know, go into depth about those things. But what I do is pray for my son's spouse. I pray for my son. Be specific about what you want for your son or your daughter and a spouse. Because that they would have the strength and the wisdom that they need to operate in self-control.
Yeah.
And to guard their hearts above all things. You know, when you're keeping God first and you're staying busy with schoolwork, you don't really have time too much for other trouble.
So what steps are we going to take when Zane or Marcella really like someone and they maybe want to, you know, pursue that relationship? I think one of the first things we're going to do is we know this is that we want them to come over to our house and we want to meet them and spend some time around them and truly get to know them over time. Mm-hmm. And as they build that trust, and this is a huge red flag. If they don't want to spend time around the family, there is not going to happen. You know, because they're hiding something. They have alternative means. You know, they want to do something else.
Right.
You know, some people think that's extreme. You know, our approach is too extreme, but we've been down that road. And like I said earlier, I could tell you for a fact that it affected me in a big way. And it brought a lot of baggage. So, you know, just like Rebecca mentioned a few moments ago, I want to encourage you to start praying for your child's spouse. You know, constantly, and constantly take the time to remind your kids the value of waiting and saving their hearts and their bodies for the one that they're going to spend the rest of our life with. You know, for those of you that have teenagers in high school, you know, I really want you to kind of evaluate how you're allowing them to approach different relationships, you know, especially with the opposite sex. You know, so we really got to take the time to really have a game plan and approach this. And it's okay to back up and punt.
Yeah.
It's okay to change some things and make some decisions. But I think that, you know, as you make that change and you make those decisions, don't go crazy, because what your kids are going to do is rebel. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important you sit down and talk to them, say, hey, look, even apologize to them, say, hey, look, we've done some things wrong and we're trying to do things. And we need to do things better. We want to protect you. We want you to, and explain to them the value of saving themselves and their hearts.
Right. You know, and I really feel like, you know, the resource that we referred to earlier is, it has been really a great tool. God's Design for Sex. It has been a great tool in creating those conversations with about relationships from a very young age. If it's, well, you were like, well, mine are now teenagers. Start with the oldest book, and it really will help you to create a communication there and open up some answers for them and reasons why you want to protect them and help them to guard themselves, because there's so many things that could just go into there. But
yeah, and I mean, the thing is, listen, at the end of the day, you know, what we're giving you here is just advice and how we're approaching things. We want to create an awareness.
Yeah.
And hope that you could take some action, you know, and make some plans to take some action. And one thing that I encourage you to do, you know, most individuals listening to this, you have someone in your life that you confide in and talk to and get some advice, whether it's a pastor or a counselor, whether it's someone that you kind of know that their home structure is great and they're approaching this the right way. Reach out to them. You know, Rebecca, we were just talking a few moments ago about we're not meant to do life like a unicycle.
Yep.
You know, on our own. We're supposed to have community. We're supposed to bring other people in it with us. So we hope this helps. We hope that this created an awareness in you and for your home, and that you begin to take some action.
Yes.
So let me say this, and we're fixing to wrap this up real quick. We obviously don't come here and on this podcast and ask for support. But if there's anything that you can do for us, like, this would be a game changer for us. This would be huge for us. Take the time to rate this episode. Take the time to review our episodes, to share our episodes, and help us to build our community. That is the best support. Well, I can't say the best.
Yeah.
The best support you could give us is prayer, obviously. But the second best support you can give us is by sharing our podcast. We really want to build our community. We want to reach out to more parents, more families, more homes. If you're part of our Facebook or Instagram community, share our posts. That helps us to, you know, every day, just about every day, we get people that I've never met, like our Parents Initiative page.
Yeah.
And that's exciting.
Yeah.
You know, we just had a post just blow up just a couple days ago, and we reached a lot of homes because it was shared a lot. And that helps to spread the word of what we're doing and what we want to accomplish. And listen, if you have a church, and I'm not trying to steal your thunder here, Rebecca, but if you are a church or part of a Bible study, if you are one that puts on events, we would like to partner with you. And that is another way that you could support us, by giving us opportunities to present this message. We just had a great time in Centralia, Illinois, just a couple weeks ago, had a great response. And it just really impacted a lot of families.
And we're filling up our 2020 calendar, but we do still have some openings.
Yeah.
If you want to reach out to us, you know, we do it in different forms, whether it's seminar form, whether it's a service, whether it's maybe at a secular location.
We could even present this in schools.
Yeah, in schools. We would love to partner with you. The links are found in the show notes on how you can connect with us, whether it's through our website or social media pages. Actually, you can get to us quicker through our social media pages.
Yeah, and just private message us, and we'll touch base with you. We're usually pretty prompt on replying to messages.
We would love to link arms with you.
Yeah, so we're excited. Thank you so much. We appreciate your prayers, your support. And many blessings to you guys, and we're only better together until next week.
We thank you for joining us today, especially those of you that are faithful supporters of Parents Initiative. It's because of you we are able to put this together.
If you'd like to become a supporter, you can click on the link on the description to give now or go to parentsinit.com and scroll to the bottom of the page and click on the donate button, where you can give a one-time tax-deductible gift or be set up to give monthly.
If you enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe, you can share it with your friends, you can click the share button, take a screenshot, share it on your social stories, and tag us at Parents Initiative. Thank you so much for joining us today.